All right, good morning, everyone. I'm here with a good friend of mine, Kofi Buwache, on the Talk To Me podcast. I'm kind of here with a big deal today. 19-year-old award-winning pianist, has toured Germany at the age of 15, also was accepted into the University of Akron Music Jazz program, making him the youngest African-American pianist ever to be accepted in a collegiate-level jazz program at UA, even was nominated for a short film, Why Not Akron? He's also going to be attending Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, fall 2019. But most importantly, he is my friend, Kofi Buwache.
Hey.
How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Blessed and thankful.
That's awesome, man.
Blessed and thankful. I see you rocking that Akron hat.
Yeah, man. My guy, Ramon, he's my manager. So he has this business, We Care Tea. So I just try and support him any way I can. So
love, what's the name of it? Give him a shout out.
Oh, yeah. We Care Tea's Ramon Wilder. You go on to WeCareTees.com, I believe, and you can just pick up a hat. He got t-shirts. He got everything, man. He's a really creative dude.
Love. Hey, so we support those businesses around here.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I appreciate you for coming on to the podcast today, man. Usually these have no guideline and I want to keep it that way.
Okay.
So first thing I want you to talk to the listeners about is tell us why you got started in music.
Man, I mean, it could have been anything for me. I started off at the age of about, 8 years old. My mom just saw like an advertisement for piano. And at the time I was trying everything. I was trying doing karate and playing t-ball and baseball. I was just taking L's in all those different sports, man. So I was just like, okay, I see an advertisement for music. My mom was like, you want to try it? I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I remember I went to the first class, and it was a big group class. So I was 8 at the time, but all these kids were like 5 and 4, but they were like killing. And it was a classical class, and these kids were just like playing all this music. And I was like, okay, I don't know if this is for me because I can't play what they're doing. I'm a little older. I was like, okay, this is going to be the last time I attend this piano class. But before I was about to leave, the piano teacher, she saw me and she pulled me aside. She saw me as a new student. She was like, whoa, let me see your hands. So she checked out my hands, and my hands were big at the time and everything because I was taller and everything. And she was like, I see something in you. I see something in you. And I said, okay, that's great, but I don't want to take these group classes. I'm not finding a way to connect here. She said, well, let's try private lessons. And so from there, we took private lessons, and it just took off from there within the next couple months, man. I went from beginner's books to advanced books, and I mean, this has just been what I've been doing for the past 10 years now.
That's what I'm talking about, man. I love to hear that. So you had someone that took interest in you and saw your passion and whatnot.
Yeah.
So what's her name again?
Her name is Trisha Thompson. She's with the Ohio Conservatory School of Music right here in Akron, Ohio.
So, love. Got to check that out. So when you took these solo lessons, right? How did that help out your learning and the developmental of your skills?
I think just having guidance, having somebody there that was showing you the ropes. And I know for me personally, I'm somebody that learns by observing others. So if I can see what you're doing, if I can see the things that you're accomplishing, if I can see how you are able to do it, I think I can apply it into the things that I do. So, you know, receiving guidance. Also, she was super encouraging along the way. And it was never like a rigid way of doing things, like, oh no, this is a clear cut path, this is how you have to play this. She was like, no, maybe it would be better if you did this, maybe it would be better if you tried to incorporate that instead of doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, to just make it easier for me as a pianist and not just being the classical pianist that everybody, you know, portrays it to be.
No, absolutely. So I know you had some setbacks along the way.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know you had some setbacks. Tell the people, how'd you get overcame those? Because right now you're at this level where people just, it may look like as if you've been born with this talent, but this is something that you've obtained. Would you say that?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that too. And it happened because of the setbacks. So I was introduced to music and I like embraced music because of these setbacks, because my dad left my life when I was about 8 years old when I met music. You know, and when he left, he wasn't silent when he left. He left, he told me, he said, you know, you're not going to amount to anything. You won't be anything without me. You'll be homeless. And you know, me and my two older brothers, we had a choice at that time. Either we fold and we become what he said we were going to be, nothing, or we choose to flourish and we become who God told us we could be, you know, through prayer and through, you know, connecting with him more. And also just not listening to those words. So now it gets to a point to me, I guess, where I do music and it's not for myself, but it's for my soul, and it's for you know, I'm feeling what I'm doing and it's on a different level. It's not just me playing notes anymore. It's me feeling emotions and speaking through my instrument, which is pretty cool.
Nice. So you have two older brothers.
Yes, sir. Two older brothers, Andre and Kwame.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I have a big brother.
Yeah.
I actually have two big brothers. And when you think about that, it's like, wow, the guidance that you receive from them. Talk a little bit about the guidance that you got from them.
I mean, it's huge. Just to see the success they've had, to see the failures they've had as two young men without fathers trying to figure it out, you know. For me, I mean, that's kind of like understand. I mean, I was so glad that my dad wasn't in my life, but I also had two older brothers that, you know, had that ability to kind of show me the ropes through their actions. So, it's been huge. I mean, to learn from them. And my oldest brother, he's 28 or 29 or something like that. So we have like a 10-year difference. But so to see where he was at the age of 19, I was 10, you know, I can kind of get a good grasp of how it is for me at 19 and to see kind of how it will be for me when I'm 29.
Hey, we are thankful for our big brothers. Absolutely. Definitely. That's what it sounds like. So you grew up in the PJs of Akron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have this story of triumph. And I admire that, you know, watching your documentary and whatnot. So when we look at that, you know, growing up with a single mother, you know, two big brothers, you want to show them, you know, that you're different, that you can do things and be that inspiration to others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that really inspired me when I was watching your documentary, you went to the mall and you started playing on the piano. Then someone put out a Starbucks coffee cup.
Yes, sir.
And they just start putting money in it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. That's how old were you at that time?
I was about 11 years old.
Wow.
So we were at the mall and we saw this grand piano. I mean, it just doesn't even seem like this would ever happen in a regular situation. So this had to have been God or something. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you walk into a mall and you just see a grand piano. In Akron, Ohio, that's not really common. Like in Fairlawn, that's not really common. So, you know, usually maybe in like New York or, you know, they have that type of setup where you can play a piano anywhere. But in Akron, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So I saw it and my mom, she was like, you should go play it. And I was super nervous and shy at the time. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. So she bribed me by giving me $1 to go up there and actually play on that piano. And I went up there and I played. And I mean, I had no idea what that was going to turn into. But what it turned into was me going there every week. And gaining, you know, yeah, like you said, somebody laid out a tip cup and the idea then spurned, man, I'm going to Germany to tour with my middle school. Maybe I could use this opportunity to raise money, you know, every week and just kind of earn the funds to go there. And that's exactly what I did. And at the end of it all, I think I performed and did that like for, I don't know, 6 months straight.
Wow.
And so every Saturday I would go there. I mean, you get people, you know, filming you, recording you. I think there's a video on YouTube. It's like semi-viral, like a couple thousand views or something like that, like 50,000 or something like that. But it was pretty cool to see like, wow, people really cared and people actually were interested in what I was doing. So
absolutely. And to all the people listening, as he mentioned, he did that for 6 months. That's that slow grind.
Oh yeah.
That wasn't that, hey, overnight. That's that slow grind.
And that's what this whole journey has been. I mean, it's never been like, oh, immediately success or, oh yeah, Emmy nomination right here. Boom. No, it's been something that, I mean, I could have never even dreamed of this stuff. I mean, for the most part, and some of these things weren't even in the path for me. Like I was never thinking, oh, I want to get an Emmy nomination or, oh, I want to, you know, produce an Emmy nominated film or nothing like that. Or I want to win this award. Like I was thinking, okay, I want to make it to this point in my music and at this point in my playing. But, you know, with that, these other things kind of just come into play.
Absolutely. I love to hear that. So you went to Germany. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. I've never been out the country, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, man. I mean, I was 12 or at the time. I mean, so for me to really, really understand everything wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really that much for me. But, I mean, it was a crazy change from being here. And I mean, you go out there, you have to pay to use the bathroom, so you got to do things like that. And, you know, people can smoke in restaurants out there. So they have like a smoking section, a non-smoking section. There's some you just smoke next to anybody and it's cool. I mean, so nobody really cares, I guess, out there as far as with that. And then, I mean, it's just, you got to just be a little more careful. There's some pickpocketers out there, but it's like that in New York or anywhere else you go. So, I mean, but it was a fun experience. So, I mean, to meet new people, be around a new culture and, you know, just be immersed in that for like a week, I think I was out there for. So it was pretty cool.
Okay. Do you see yourself going back?
Not to Germany.
Not to Germany. Yeah, it's a very interesting place from what I've heard. So talking a little bit about the University of Akron experience, I want to hear about that. We met in our market research class.
Yeah.
And I could just tell, first of all, this is a godly man right here that I'm talking to.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I definitely admired about you. So tell us about your experience here at UA before you go off to Berkeley.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here at the University of Akron for the past 6 years. So I've been going here since I was in high school. This was my high school. And I mean, it's been an amazing opportunity to be around more mature classmates and peers. I mean, when I left middle school, my classmates were 14. I come here first year as a freshman, my classmates are 40. So it's a huge change, man. You know, so you don't know what you're getting yourself into until you're here. But and being here, I realized this was the best position for me to be in. If it wasn't for this school, you know, I don't really know where I would have really gone focus wise, because I knew that I needed to be immersed in a situation that allowed me to flourish and kind of have that maturation that I knew that I was developing while I was in middle school. But I was like, man, if I go to a traditional high school, it's going to fade. It's going to go away, because I'm going to have to morph myself into what that high school has conformed itself. You know, it's like the whole, you know, those high school, you know, all the drama and stuff and all that stuff. I just knew that that wasn't my path. That's not what I really wanted to do. So being here at Akron has been a game changer for sure.
Okay. Game changer to all the future recruits here. Game changer. You heard it from Coffee. So you said you knew that you need to be at a non-traditional school. A lot of people that are going to listen, they have this talent, and sometimes they don't have the confidence, you know, that you have. So you said you knew. What gave you that feeling of?
I mean, I just think when you see, I don't know, when you dream of things and you dream of opportunities, you just envision, man, what's the situation that you could be in? What's the place that's best for me? And so for me, I had an older brother that had went to the Akron Early College program. And so he was a part of that. And so through that, he was able to build connections. And so he met this one guy who was the director of music at the University of Akron, their School of Music program. And they sent me out emails over the summer, you know, prior to that, you know, that kind of that recruitment year and your eighth grade year and everything for high schools and stuff. And they said, hey, man, you should probably think about just coming to Akron. And I was like, man, that might be a good opportunity. And I thought about it, and I really thought about it. I talked to some of my mentors in middle school, and they were like, yeah, you should probably think about doing that, because I know the high school program that I was intending to go in, it just seemed like it was a little too easy for me, and it wasn't providing me much of a challenge to better myself. And I knew, I was like, okay, if I go there, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that dude. Everybody, you know, you're going to be the popular guy. But I'm like, is that really what I want? You know, is that really what's going to bring me forward? Is that really going to provide me what I need going forward? And so I was like, no, I should probably, you know, be in a position where I can be challenged and grow from there.
So you challenge yourself.
Had to, man. That's the most important thing. I mean, in this whole process, even now, like, we attend the same church, City of Joy Life Enrichment Center. And so I just started there in February, and I got an offer to play there. And I mean, that whole experience is not, I'm not just going there because, oh, I just want to play at that church. I mean, the musicians that are there, like, I don't know if many people in the congregation know, but a lot of these musicians are touring musicians. Our guys are in and out playing with Khalid and touring and playing at Coachella and stuff like that. So to be surrounded around industry musicians, and to the things that we do, you know, are kind of like programmed as for live concerts. And so what we're doing on every Sunday is what I'll be doing hopefully for the rest of my life. So yeah, it's a great learning experience for me.
Absolutely. I heard in the documentary you said that musicians should surround themselves around other musicians.
Got to, or at least build camaraderie, because, I mean, for me, that's the biggest thing. I mean, I've met a lot of musicians along the way, right? I mean, you meet people and, you know, in your field. But the ones that I actually have a relationship with, and the ones I actually have a friendship with and a connection with, our music is better. You know, we play better together, and they're in my group. You know, they're part of my team everywhere I go. You know, whether I'm here or out of state, you know, I'm with them. So, I mean, it's pretty cool, man, to build that. And yeah, you should surround yourself around people that also want you to be better too. So that's important.
Yeah, a lot of your success, I know for me personally, can come from the people, the company that you keep, because birds of a feather flock together.
There you go, man.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, that's sir. What I'm talking about. So let's talk a little bit about your experience that's going forward for Berkeley. You know, what will this do for your music career? At least, what do you think it would do?
Oh, man. Berkeley, I look at Berkeley like the Golden State Warriors and how KD would view it. I mean, you put me around the best musicians in the world that work hard every day, that want nothing but success in their life. How could you not be motivated to do great things? You know, I've seen the work that I've done here in Akron, and it's great work. You know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I'm speaking just from even, I don't get a chance to ever sit down and see what I do or see what I've, you know, been able to do, but just to see the story aligned through watching the documentary and everything, I was like, man, you know, you've come a long way, KB. You've done some things. And so, but to be at Berkeley, man, it's, I can't even put it into words. I'm so excited about it, man. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, and it's something that I knew I couldn't pass up on. Like, if I continued, you know, and this is no diss to UA, but if I continued at the University of Akron and things weren't going as positive for me, I would have been like, man, I should have went to Berkeley. You know, I got an offer at Ohio State, and it was like a full scholarship, whatever. So if I went to Ohio State and it didn't work out, I would have been like, man, I should have just stayed at Akron, or man, I should have took that risk and gone to Berkeley. But if I go to Berkeley and it doesn't work out or whatever, it's starting to look not positive, I'm like, well, I lived out my dream. I did what I was supposed to do. We got to find a way to make this work.
Right.
So right. It's different.
Yeah, when you look back, you want to live with no regrets.
For sure, man. And that's Berkeley for me.
Nice. When you got that acceptance, describe that a feeling.
It was a great feeling, man. It was well, on a real note, it was a feeling of great excitement, right? You get accepted into your dream school. That's like a law student getting accepted into Harvard. It's great. But then that there was a feeling of like, oh, dang, because I realized I was broke. Because I was like, man, okay, I got this opportunity, but this scholarship isn't enough. I can't go to this school. There's no way. But then I thought about it. I was like, man, if you just take a second to think about this journey and think about your story, I'm like, dude, your story could get you to Berkeley if you cultivated in that way. So I just kept brainstorming. I was like, man, how do I do this? So then the documentary idea came up. I pitched it to a number of videography companies. All of them declined it, except for the one that did it, Pre-Entertainment Group.
PEG.
Yeah, so I worked with them, and we worked together on that film. We did something 2 years ago called Why Not Akron, and it got nominated for Emmy and everything. So we worked again. I had a film premiere at Tangier this year to raise money, and now I can gladly say that I will be attending, man. It's exciting. So it's cool, man.
Blessings, yeah. Blessings. I know you will represent Akron well. You'll represent your family well. It's well-deserved, man. You worked hard for that one.
I appreciate it.
You worked hard for that one. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed to have you on here, man. I think that you're going to go far. You're going to go far, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Last but not least, you were nominated for Emmy. What? What?
Yeah.
How, Sway?
Man, how? I don't know. I was sitting down practicing, and I got an email from one of my team members, and they said, one of the team members from Pure Entertainment Group, and they said, because I saw it said Kofi made in Akron, and I was like, oh, man, is she calling and complaining about, is this something happened that I didn't know about? No, but I read the email, and it said, you know, we're glad to tell you it got nominated for an Emmy, and that's pretty much that's it, man. She was super, super, like, sly about it, too. It wasn't, like, any exclamation points, straight up commas and periods, man. She was like, Kofi, you got nominated for an Emmy, or we did. We're so proud. And I'm like, you're not excited? I was super, super ecstatic about that, man. I was running around my house screaming. I called everybody. I was like, called my mom. I was like, hey, we got nominated. So it was super dope, man.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You leave for Berkeley when?
In September, September 1st. Well, late August, and then I start in September. So
okay. Yeah. I want to get your thoughts on this quote before we end. So we're going to end with a quote. This past Sunday at church, he said, if you did not come from a wealthy family, make sure a wealthy family comes from you.
I heard that one. Yeah. That's deep. I mean, that's what we strive for. That's what we hustle for. That's what we grind for. That's what we trust God for. I mean, it's more than just that, but you want to leave a mark, you know. I follow the whole saying, your smile is your business card, your personality is your logo. How you leave others after an experience with you becomes your trademark. And I want to instill that within my little cousins that are in my family. I want them to see me. So when I perform at places like the Apollo, I bring them with me. They come out and they're at the shows. They're sitting in the stands. They're sitting in the audience. Because I don't care if they're 4, if they're 5, or if they're 10. I want them to know, hey, this is what we do in our family. This is excellence. This is not a surprise. Yeah, Kofi's performing here. This is what I'm going to be doing in the next couple of years. That's what I want them to think. And I think by doing that, you set yourself up to be pretty successful in the future for not only yourself, but your family too.
Mm-hmm. Passing that knowledge down, not just the currency, but the knowledge.
That's what you got to do, man.
But the knowledge. And you said you had your family in at Apollo?
Yeah, because I've been performing, man. I'm headed back out there next week, so I'm flying out there, but I bring my family out. You know, we all go out there, and it's a fun time, man. You know, the Apollo is just, it's the Apollo. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the place where so many legends have graced that stage. Michael Jackson, James Brown, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Dave Chappelle, you know, Lauryn Hill. So, I mean, you get the chance to be around greatness and to really make your mark for a night. And this competition has been going on since February. So, you know, if I win this next coming week, then I advance to the finals, which
once you win.
Yeah, once I win. There we go.
Absolutely.
The finals in November.
Okay. Are you nervous ever when you're up there?
I'm never nervous when I'm there at the Apollo. I'm nervous once I'm about to perform. But it's not really nerves, though. It's more so because, I mean, you prepare, right? You prepare for these opportunities all your life, essentially. But for me, I go in that week before, I mean, or that day before, and I'm, like, in a practice room for about 6 hours or 4 hours. And I'm just going in, listening to music, watching film of other performances and everything, just to try and see what I need to do as an entertainer. Because at this point, the talent is saturated. Everybody's talented. So it's like, what sets you apart in the audience, you know, because the audience is the one that roots you on. They're the ones that cheer you to win. So it's like, what do you do to set yourself apart from your other competition in a more optical view? So, I mean, for me, I mean, I just go there and I try to lock in, do as much as I can. But when I go on stage, it's pretty seamless, especially once I start, you know, get going and everything. And then I'm energetic, man. I get real excited on stage because I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be. And so when you feel like you're supposed to be there, the feeling of nervousness never comes because it's like, no, this is what I was born to do, man. So I belong there. And so that's home for me on the stage.
Yo, when I seen that video of you on the piano.
Yeah, man.
It looks like you've been doing it for like since you came out the womb. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You're a natural up there.
Thank you.
You're a natural up there. So keep doing you, man. You know, we're representing you from UA. You know, We're cheering you on every step of the way, man. I'm thankful to have you. UA is thankful to have you, and I'm sure your family's extremely proud of you, man. So keep doing what you're doing, man, and we look forward to seeing your future success.
Absolutely, man.
All right, man, we out of here.
All right.